Father, we come before you now and worship and praise you and thank you, because that is what you require. You say that we offer a living sacrifice, and we do that through our words, through our actions, through loving one another, and through our witness, Father. And today, God, we want to share our witness with one another, because that is what overcomes the enemy, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Father. And so I thank you for that opportunity today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have several people joining in today that are new, and I want to thank you for coming. Today we're going to be doing a little different thing, because it's been since February that we started this church service, and I want to give you opportunity now to really interject some things, because some of you have gone through some issues and situations since you started this church meetings, and I want to hear from you. I know that I have, even though I'm teaching it. Boy, I tell you what, I get to go through a lot of stuff, especially as a teacher. We get to apply what we learn. So know that whatever I teach, I get to go through too. And so I wanted to start out by reading Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Let's start right there. Acts 26, verse 18. And this is when the Damascus experience for Paul when he was blinded on the road. And this is what the Lord said that he wants him to do once he, you know, gets back on the track and starts to serve the Lord the way he's supposed to, okay, way he's supposed to. It says to open their eyes. So in other words, he's going to want him to go and minister to others, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You know, we have been sanctified, and we have been, we are Abraham's seed. So whatever Abraham received, that's what we get as well. So we are sanctified among that. And the cool part is that we help people to see the truth so that they can cooperate with God, so they can repent. Matter of fact, I think it's 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. Let's take a look at that. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And let's see. We're 2 Timothy. There's Peter. That's a little tiny book. It's in here somewhere. 2 Timothy 2. Okay, my Bible's all stuck together. Hold on a minute, guys. Looking for 2 Timothy 2. There it is. 24 through 26. I think I need to get some little tabbies. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. It's good to read it. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach with patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, which is to help them to come into the light of the truth so that they can repent for their sins, right? If God would give them the repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. There it is again. What are we, you know, what's going on in our spirit, in our heart? And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so we can get recovered by repentance. Isn't that cool? When we repent, whatever is in us is now, removed from our heart, and it's covered. And if we start to change when we start to repent in these areas. And that's what Acts 26, 18 says, to open their eyes. So we need to be able to see inside. We need to see if we're the ones, you know, that's the issue. Because sometimes, you know, we're wondering why everybody else is acting certain ways and how come things are bad, you know, bad that are happening to you, people don't like you, whatever. Might not be them at all. We need to look at ourselves and see what's going on inside. And one of the ways we're going to share on that is talk about our experiences so far. And it could be concerning with the church here. It could be just something God's teaching you. But I want to give you an opportunity, okay? I'm going to give each person an opportunity to share a little bit today. Because Revelation 12:11, and I said it in the Lord, in our prayer this morning, Revelation 12:11 says we are to overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, which is the word of truth, okay? It's this power. It's this being able to be cleansed and sanctified from all evil. The word, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Okay, so that is our turn. Interestingly, you'll see that the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony are in the same verse. That means we're just as important as the blood of the Lamb. I need you to grab a hold of that. Don't think that what you live or what you go through isn't important. It is truly important for the body of Christ. We are to speak of the goodness of the Lord. It talks about it all through the scriptures, to remember what God has done. How do you do that? You share it with other people. You talk about him. You know, every time we talk about the Lord, he writes it down in his book. Ooh, they're talking about me again. Hallelujah. I'm going to write that down. You know, he doesn't write down anything that you don't talk about him. Okay? So we got idle words going out there. I personally speak those things that are pleasing to the Lord. Even when I speak, no matter what I speak, no matter what I think, I want them to please the Lord. I don't get it 100%, that's for sure, but that's my goal. That's my desire because I love the Lord. And so I'm going to give us opportunity to share our hearts. But I have a couple stories I want to start with to kind of give you some time to think about what you want to share. But here recently, you know, going through when I teach things, I get to go through things, as I said. And points of my ministry talk about what is inside of us, okay? You know, what is going on in us is what's going to cause us to act a certain way or be a certain way. Well, recently my sisters and I got together to look at some old photo albums. I think my mother had about 65 photo albums. And so we spent the day going through all the pictures. We pulled out every single picture out of the photo albums and organized them in these little shoe boxes because there's a lot of photo albums. They're heavy, they're bulky, they're dirty. You know, we just wanted to get the pictures out. So we tossed everything out, but we kept the pictures. So I got a hold of a pile of pictures with me in them since I was young. And one picture particularly stuck out. When I got home and I was kind of going through it, I pulled this one picture out, and it was myself and my son. And I began to cry. I cried so hard when I looked at that picture, and I didn't really know why. Why was I crying about that picture? I thought because, you know, I was a horrible mother, and I gave him up at 2.5 because that's what I did. I had him live with his father since he was 2.5 years old, so I never got to really raise him. And there was always a shame attached to that and a guilt, but, of course, the Lord has healed that since then. So I'm thinking, well, what is it, Lord? You healed me of that. Why am I crying? And he said something I've never seen before. He said, because I would always think about making the decisions of giving my son up, okay, as an adult today, that I would never do it today. If I knew what I knew today, I never would have done it, right? Isn't that what we say? But at that moment in time, back when I saw that little girl in that picture, I mean, a little girl, she looked like she was like, I don't know, 16 years old with a little child. And I had compassion. I was able to forgive that little girl and have compassion towards her. And that was me. That was towards me. And I was able to wrap my arms around her and say everything's going to be okay. See, that picture stirred something up in me that needed to be healed. And that moment, because that crying, this wasn't just crying. It was this deep, innermost, painful crying that came out. That was remarkable how the Lord just beautifully oozed it out of me, you know, and he held me and he comforted me as I comforted that little girl. And I was able to write a note to my son and say, you know, I need to tell you something. And I sent the picture to him. I said, I understand now. I was young. The choices I made weren't all that great. But I can forgive that little girl, and I can have compassion. And that's what God wants me to do. And I hope that that speaks to somebody as well, because our testimonies help each other, okay, go through some of those old wounds, things we don't want to think about, things that, you know, might come up from time to time when we watch a movie or read a book, and we go, oh, I don't even want to deal with that. Well, it's time to deal with it. When I looked at that picture, it was time to deal with it. I didn't even know it was still in there. But it impacts your life. It impacts everything around you. All right, then the second story I want to share with you, these are two big things that have changed everything about me, the way I act. I am so happy today. I even talked to Tom. I am just full of joy and happy today because all these things have been removed. They've been healed. They've been purged. So it's going to impact the way you live, okay, from here on out. And I am enjoying it, I'll tell you. So I had to write these down because it seems like when the Lord heals and delivers me from some things, I don't even remember it because, it just goes away because the pain's gone. So I had to write them down because I know that's how God does it. He wants me to be clean from all those things. And so sometimes I forget, but I don't want to forget because I want to share these with you. So the number two story is of the Lord showing me how much fear I had. All right, so many, many years ago, I realized that I had so much fear in me that I couldn't drive across the bridge. I couldn't go to the dentist, you know, drive in a car with somebody else, all these different things. I had to be in control. And I had so much fear that it was into panic attacks, phobias, and anxiety. It was so bad. I had to be on tranquilizers, go to a psychologist. I mean, for 30 years, as a, you know, and 18 of those years as a Christian. So, you know, back then I wrote a book, A Matter of the Mind, Journey from Fear to Faith. I mean, God delivered me from the spirit of fear. All right. That was 20 years ago. Then why am I still having some fear? It's because I have residue of fear. I have been trained to fear, and I didn't address those areas of being trained. And this is what he showed me. Of course, last week I talked to you about having a dizzy spell, all right? And so here's where the fear starts. Every time I go to plan to do something, I'm afraid I'm going to be dizzy. I'm afraid I'm going to get sick. I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to do what I need to do. I'm afraid to disappoint somebody. So I always, you know, change my plans or other things. So I have this fear constantly undermining all my decisions. Okay? So I thought, oh, my goodness, Lord. And when he showed that to me, he said, you've put yourself in such a box to where, you know, I got to the point where I wouldn't even bend over to pick something up off the floor. I was afraid I was going to get dizzy. I didn't want to exercise. I was afraid I was going to get dizzy. So there might be some things in our lives, even in your life, where you're not doing because of the fear that's produced it, the fear that we've been trained. After a while, it becomes our norm, you know. We just, you know, that's just the way we are. But we find out that it is not the norm when you go out into the world, into somebody else's environment, and go, oh, wow, they can do that. Well, I'm afraid to do that. You see, so we start to see that we have some fear, deep-rooted fear there. I know I did. And he showed me that. And when I repented from it, I'll tell you what, it was like night and day. Something left me. There was like something was pulled out of my heart, and I became stable, solid, secure. I didn't have the fear of those evil forebodings of being dizzy the next day. I go, okay, if I'm dizzy, I'm dizzy. If I'm not, I'm not. I'm not, you know, continuing that fear, anticipation of it coming on again. This is freeing people, because for almost, God reminded me, almost 30 years, almost every day, I would anticipate being lightheaded or dizzy. You see, for as a child, I grew up with my mother who had vertigo for over 50, 60 years. She had inner ear damage, and so she had vertigo. So as a child, I'm living under that. I'm learning to be afraid, all right? So I have to unlearn some things, and I didn't know until the Lord showed me that I had to unlearn some things. It's not necessarily the spirit of fear, but it is what I retained from that spirit of fear. Okay, so that's the other thing that happened. And so now today, I tell you what, I am free, I'm excited, I'm doing amazing things. Now, I don't know if Dolores is in the room today, and if she is, I'll have her share her story. We talked the other morning. I prayed with her on the phone when she was getting ready to go to a trip. I think she's in Fresno, or she's in L. Where are you at? I can't remember. You're in L. I think she's in L.A. She's going to L.A. To do some fun stuff. And anyway, I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit later if Dolores isn't there. And then, of course, my last story is the identity, our identity. And I have to tell you it this way. There was a young man who was ridiculed all his life for not having a father. Kids would tease him of who his father was. He never had friends because he didn't have a father. All his life he felt less than, low self-esteem. He even wondered who his own father was. Well, one day he went to a revival service in his neighborhood to see what it was all about. He went in late and sat in the back. He thought he would slip out early when he realized he was there the whole time. And then when it was over, the crowd started to leave. He was caught up in the crowd, and the preacher who was standing at the back door spotted him. He approached the young man, who looked obviously like he was alone, and said, "So, who is your father?" When he noticed the kid looked down and knew he hit a chord, he within minutes said to him, "I know who your father is, because you look just like him. He's your heavenly Father who created you in his image." Well, when I heard that message, it was a story being told on the radio, that last statement, I know who you are. You look just like your father. I again began to cry. I began to just weep over that because I did not realize that I had a lack of my identity. Now, I've been teaching and preaching all along, but God is always bringing us higher, isn't he? He's always bringing us more nuggets in these areas of our life, and that's what he showed me, that it was become so personal to me that I looked just like my daddy. What a release it was of joy that I have a father of whom I look like. Not my earthly father necessarily, but my heavenly father. So I'm going to leave this with you as well right now as I open up the lines for you to share, is that we all look like our heavenly father. We're created in his image, unique and beautiful. And so those things in the last week, since our last church service, this is all that happened during this week. A lot more has happened, but I just wanted to throw out a few things because every day God is growing me up, teaching me, correcting me, healing me, freeing me, all these different things continually. You know, it's funny because you look back on life and go, my goodness, how much stuff do I need to be freed from? I didn't know how much stuff was in there. And Tom and I would laugh about it because it's like so much was in there. If I'd have known how much was in there, I think I would have just given up right at the beginning. But God does it beautifully, little by little, line upon line, here a little, there a little, doesn't he? He just does a little bit on.